The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of me. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, there's a lot here today. A lot. This is like being said, go get that pretty girl and walk into Miss America or something. It's like, which one? I mean, there's so much here. So just to set it up. So God creates you and me in his image and likeness. We are the image of God. And we are created to share his glory. The word glory is used a lot in the Bible as a way of how God's presence is in the world. So they'll talk about God's glory. So you and I were created to be his glory in the world. And if you look at John's gospel, he's talking about glory and all the glory stuff. So that's like one of those beautiful things that we have to think about today. You and I are called to be his presence in the world. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says, since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We also boast of our sufferings, All right, and we're going to come back to that. But we boast of our sufferings because we have the hope of sharing the glory of God. That's our hope, to share the glory of God. And it's already begun. It's just not fully here yet. The world that we live in is run by the gods, small g gods. And so the small g gods are spiritual principalities and powers. We tend to call them devils and demons. Other people called them gods in the ancient times, and that's what the Bible calls them. So the gods are the spiritual entities which rule the world. They are either supportive of God, and they become what we call guardian angels, or they're against God, what we call the demonic. And those powers are at work in the world, and human beings align with them. Human beings make a decision to pledge themselves to them. Sell your soul to the devil means to give over your life to some principle or power that you live your life for. Every nation in the earth has those demonic forces at work. Every nation. And so the problem with patriotism is it's good to love your country. It's good to love your kingdom. But your kingdom has loyalty not to God Almighty. So there's always that tension there. So we call that the Antichrist. Now, I know you grew up in Memphis. There's only one Antichrist, and he's coming. But in the real Bible world, Antichrists are all over the place. As 1 John says, there's many Antichrists. Antichrist is anyone who sets themselves against God's legitimate ruler, who is the Christ. They're called Antichrist. Well, until the day when God comes in and takes over the world and begins ruling, until that day, you and I are going to live in the tension, which we now call life on planet Earth, in the rebellion. We're living behind the battlefield lines. So, there is a final victory. I'm not saying it's hopeless. There is a final victory. What I'm saying is it hasn't happened yet. We're going to win the game, but right now it's the third inning, and we're behind. And they keep throwing balls and conking us in the head, all right? So that's the experience we're having now. What we have in the midst of this war, and I want to emphasize, like when you have people saying, I don't understand why life's the way it is, explain to them, you're in a war. You're in a war. And the war is waging. And generally in war, people get hurt. And that's what it looks like. We have hope. And that's what our joy. Our joy is not based on it's already done. Our joy is based on what's coming. That allows us to have joy. So we are going to suffer. Life is not fair. Carve it in your arm. Write it on your forehead. Whatever you need to. Life is not fair. When something happens, you say, that's not fair. You say, it must be life. If something unfair is happening, it must be life. There is darkness in the world. The kingdom of light is coming, but it's not everywhere. And you know how dark likes to hide, right? You come around the corner, oh, there's some dark hidden in there because the light didn't reach it. So the light's not everywhere. We are going to hurt. You're going to, and everyone here, well, there's a lot of young people maybe, but at the other services where we're all old, yeah, we're hurting. And I'm not just talking about physical. We're hurting because all our friends are dying. We're hurting because all the losses we experience. It's endless suffering. And you think, I thought it'd get better as I got older. And it doesn't get better. It's a struggle. And what Paul says is, that's so you can learn to persevere. You know, we are probably the absolute softest people in the history of the world. We really are. Like, we don't walk anywhere. We will drive for 10 minutes to find a parking place because it's closer to the door. Oh my, I had a walk and it was hot. We are so soft because our lives are just, everything in our whole life is based on, is it fast? Is it convenient? And so we've just been, and I know some of you said, well, I grew up in a different world. Yeah, but that was 70 years ago. Which means you had to be a lot older than me to remember it. And there ain't many, it's just that. So we live in this world where we need to learn. Perseverance builds character. So I can be someone. Someone who can stand in the presence of the saints and angels and not say, I don't belong here. That's the goal, to become that kind of person. And I think if we stop complaining and get on with it, what we'll find is the Holy Spirit is there to make it happen. Stop focusing on what's wrong with the world and the unfairness and start doing justice. Start doing the things that make it a better place. So this brings us now to the next issue, the issue of salvation. Didn't Paul say we're saved by faith? All right, let me explain what salvation is. The first reading, Exodus. Where did the Hebrew slaves live? In Egypt. Very good. Courage is rewarded. You did good. Your courage is a blessing. So they were in Egypt. And Egypt is the land of slavery. And God says to Moses, tell them, let my people go. Then he says to Moses, I am going to defeat the gods of Egypt. How many of you knew that that's what he said? We don't know that because we're always told by Pharaoh. What he says is, I'm going to defeat the gods of Egypt. So then, by grace, God lets them leave. Who gets to go with the Hebrews? This is something else. Who left with the Hebrews? Did you know a bunch of other people left with them? Or did you think it was only like Hebrews? I thought it was only Hebrews. And you read it says there was a bunch of other people went with them. In fact, at one point they're called the riffraff. It's the Hebrew version. It's like it's double word. But it's like there's all these kind of shady characters going with them in the desert. And God says, I will bear you up on eagle's wings. Right? And we live in the post the post-Reformation, post-1960s world where you're saved by grace, which means don't do anything. Because you don't want to be accused of trying to earn your salvation. So do nothing. Pop open your Coca-Cola, eat your ice cream sandwich, and sit on the couch and just be saved. But don't do anything. Nothing you do matters. Here's what it means to be born on eagle's wings. You walk endless miles through a desert. Hot, hungry, thirsty. The Hebrews who trusted God's promise and sat in Egypt remained in Egypt. Now, those of you who know I like the Lord of the Rings, when do the eagles show up? Anybody know? At the end of the story. Like, he bore them up on eagle wings, but meanwhile, they had to walk through the whole journey. That's what life is. That's what's supposed to happen. We are saved by grace. They are saved out of Egypt by God's graciousness, but then they have to go through the entire desert, and now we're at that point where they've walked and walked and walked, and they're standing in front of the mountain. Love the mountain. What are mountains? Mountains are places where earth climbs into heaven. Where earth climbs into heaven. And if you've ever been on top of a mountain, you understand why they thought the gods lived there. Because the air sounds different. It just sounds different when you're looking at them. So all cultures around the world think that you climb mountains to see God. Well, that's a nice metaphor for life because climbing mountains is hard work. Not that we would know because I drive a car. This isn't so hard. I can be up a mountain in no time at all. But to actually climb it to get to the top, that's a different experience. So they're going through the desert. They're standing in front of the mountain. And now comes the rest of the story. You are saved by grace. And that's the beginning. You are saved from the land of slavery and sin and death. That's the beginning. Now comes part two. You've been saved. Do you want to be in relationship? God says on the mountain, I offer you a covenant. I've taken you out of that and brought you to myself. Now comes the covenant. And he says to them, you are my treasure. All right, what's the biggest disappointment in marriage? You want to be a treasure and your spouse forgets that. And even when they do it, they don't do it as well as they need to. And I know we all lie and send those cards and stuff. But the bottom line is, no one is satisfied in their marriage. And that's a really good thing. Because a dog can be happy, but a human should always want more. Because you're not with God yet. And you're not in that heavenly relationship where you truly are loved and loved. So it's a good thing that we're disappointed. It's a good thing because it means that we're not saying, I just want to have this base biological existence like a perch. Like perches never go to psychiatrists. I'm just life is so disappointing. All right, human beings do because we were made for more. So I made you to be a treasure. We want to be a treasure. Then he says, I make you a kingdom of priests. Priests are people set aside to serve God. I have had a little experience with priesthood, all right? But my experience has been the failure of laity to understand their priest as well. All of us are priests. All of us are priests, which now ties into what Jesus is doing with the 12 apostles. He sends them out. And he sends them out to heal people and to cast out demons and to proclaim that God is the true ruler of the world. That's our job. Have you noticed lately that when you go places, customer service is awful? Like you say, I want a hamburger, and it takes like 2 weeks. So by the time it gets here, it's going to have caps or something. I mean, what is going on? And the problem is, what do we all say? No one wants to work, right? You ever said that? No one wants to work. Now you know how I feel every Sunday. As I look out at the congregation, I'm talking St. Michael's in 84. I look at a congregation of people who are identified by Jesus himself as apostles who are supposed to go out into the world and do all this stuff. And what I get instead is people saying, that sermon was too long. Our task, my friends, is to kick Satan out. To take sin and sickness and suffering and death and turn them on their ears in the name of Jesus. That's our task. That's what we're supposed to be doing. To love people instead of figuring out who to blame. If you're one of those real political people, I hope you're spending 3 times as much time praying for them as you are talking about them. Because that's your job. You're a Christian. You're not a political person. In my experience, we like to whine and complain and talk bad about people, but we don't do our job. Our job is to go out into the world and save the world. So let's be very clear. If your life is hard, good. It's supposed to be. Embrace it and use that to grow into the image and likeness of God. If you encounter evil, good. Your job is to defeat it. You've been sent out in the world, and notice it's 2 by 2. So partner up. Let's do our job. And let's stop doing the what ifs. What if this happens? What about this? What about it? You know what? What if God is God? Oh! What if the kingdom is coming? Oh! What if God's given you power to do amazing things? Oh! Let's talk about that what if, all right? You signed up? You're going to do it? Stand up and profess the faith.